जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन बल्लभवा गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जन बल्लभवा गिरिवर धारी। यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना। यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना। यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना। जमुना तीरावन चारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन बल्लभवा गिरिवर धारी। यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना। जमुना तीरावन चारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Kishor Kishori, Jai Kishor Kishori, Jai Kishor Kishori, Jai Kishor Kishori. Jai Jagatnath, Jagatnath. Bal Deva Jay Subhadra. Jay Gauranitai, 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 Jay Gauranitai. Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Jai Jai Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupad, Jai Jai Prabhupad. Jai Jai Prabhupad, 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 Jai Jai Prabhupad.
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंसा परिवाजक आचार्य श्रोतशत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय. ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू गुरु एंड गौरांगा. नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जये मुदीरे. नष्टे प्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नष्टकी. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. हरे कृष्णा. सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 8 chapter 5, text number 48, titled Demigod's Appeal to the Lord for Protection. Navama karma kalpopi. Navama karma kalpopi. Vipulaya Ishwararpita Kalpate Purushasheva Sahi Atma Dayituhita Navama Karma Kalpopi Vipulaya Ishwararpita Kalpate Purushasheva Sahi Atma Dayituhita Nama Karma Kalpopi Vifula Ishwararpita Kalpate Purushasheva Sahi Atma Dayituhita. Navama karma kalpopi vishva arpita kalpate purushasheva sahi atma dayito hita. Namama karma kalpopi vifula ishvara arpita kalpate purushasheva sahi atma dayito hita. Namama karma kalpopi Vipulaya Ishwara Arpita Kalpate Purushasheva Sahi Atma Dayito Hita. Namama Karma Kalpopi Vipula Ishwara Arpita Kalpate Purushasheva Sahi Atma Dayito Hita. Namama Karma Kalpopi Vipulaya Ishwara Arpita Kalpate Purushasheva Sahi Atma Dayito Hita. Na, not, Avamaha, very little or insignificant, karma, activities, kalpaha, rightly executed, api, even, vifalaya, go in vain, Ishvara Arpitaha, because of being dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kalpate, it is so accepted. Purushasya, of all persons. Eva, indeed. Sah, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He, certainly, Atma, the Super Soul, the Supreme Father, Dayitaha, extremely dear, Hita, beneficial, they don't like my class. Thank you. Thank you. So, translations and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Activities dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if performed in small measure, never go in vain. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being the Supreme Father, is naturally very dear and always ready to act for the good of living entities. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text number 40, the Lord says, Swalapam api yasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. This dharma, devotional service, is so important that even if performed to a very small, almost negligible extent, it can give one the supreme result. There are many instances in the history of the world in which even a slight service rendered to the Lord has saved a living entity from the greatest danger. Ajamila, for example, was saved by the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the greatest danger, that of going to hell. He was saved simply because he chanted the name Narayana at the end of his life. When Ajamila chanted this holy name of the Lord Narayana, he did not chant knowingly. Actually, he was calling his youngest son, whose name was Narayana. Nonetheless, Lord Narayana took this chanting seriously, and thus Ajamila achieved the result of Ante Narayana Smriti. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text Number 6, remembering Narayana at the end of life. If one somehow or other remembers the holy name of Narayana, Krishna or Rama at the end of life, he immediately achieves the transcendental result of going back home, back to Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually the only object of our love. As long as we are in this material world, we have so many desires to fulfill. But when we come in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we immediately become perfect and fully satisfied. Just as a child is fully satisfied when he comes to the lap of his mother. Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest to achieve some material result by austerity and penance. But when he actually saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he said, I do not want any material benediction. I am completely satisfied. Even if one wants some material benefit from serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this can be achieved extremely easily, without hard labor. Therefore, the Shastra recommends, Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udardihi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one desires everything or nothing, or desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text Number 10. Even if one has material desires, one can undoubtedly achieve what he wants by rendering service to the Lord. Om Agyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vansha Kalpataru Bhashya Kirpa Sindhu Bhaya Ivacha Patita Nam Pavne Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, we are reading the prayers of Lord Brahma together with other demigods. They are glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And these prayers are very, very interesting because they are describing the different natures and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how vast and immense they could be, and beyond imagination. This is what is being described here. So we will discuss this in two parts. One is we will go through the purport, and other will be a little bit more interactive and discussion. Maybe I will ask and you will answer. So here it says, activities dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if performed in small measure, never go in vain. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being the Supreme Father, is naturally very dear and always ready to act for the good of the living entities. So, I don't know how many of you have a bank account. You all have bank account? Okay, good. So then you will understand this very easily. So, you put money in your account, correct? And next time when you look at your bank statement, you always find it is reducing. You don't, you know, sometimes you may be spending money. Even if sometimes you feel you are not spending any money, it still goes down. You don't know where the money is going, correct? That is the law of material world. You try to put in, you try to accumulate things, you try to accumulate material possessions, and gradually they go away. In front of our eyes, these things go away and we don't even realize. And we are so much living under the influence of Maya that we don't even recognize that these things are just temporary. They are going to go away. But with the spiritual credits, it is different. If you go to the spiritual bank and you have an account there, it is totally different situation. So whatever credits you earn in your spiritual account, it stays that way. It never goes down. If you have achieved certain credits during this lifetime or your previous lifetimes, so in during this lifetime, you are starting where you finish your previous life. And in other words, the credits will always increase and increase and increase. So how do we understand it in our devotional life? So we can say that if we were practicing devotional services, devotional life, even in the previous lifetimes, in this lifetime, we are going to start where we ended. However, one has to be careful because there are so many distractions and influences of ignorance that it is very easy to lose the direction. And it also happens even in devotional life that people fall. And the cause of that is we have the influence of Maya on us. So we have to be very, very careful that we practice devotional service under careful guidance of superiors, under careful guidance of a spiritual master and senior Vaishnavas who will make sure that we remain on the right path. Otherwise, as I said earlier, Maya is so powerful that it is very easy to get distracted. The money from our bank account is going away and we don't even get to know where it is going. So that is the beauty of practicing spiritual devotional service. Then Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Ajamila, which I think this is one of the first pastimes or stories I heard when I started my life in Krishna consciousness, that Ajamila and, you know, Ajamila story. And I was wondering who this Ajamila was. So one day I read the story and I was fascinated that even by mistake, if we remember Lord, He is so compassionate and kind that He is there to help us. And in this case, Ajamila remembered the Lord not knowingly. It was just by mistake or just by chance that his son's name was Narayana, and he called him and the Lord was there to help him out. It was quite a common thing in India to name children after the names of gods, especially after the name of Krishna or even Rama, like other. So in, you know, now of course the trend has changed. Now they go after the names of Bollywood stars, film stars. But earlier it used to be after the name of the Lord. So imagine, you know, how interesting it would be that if a mother has to call his child 100 times or 200 times every day, and he's calling every time Krishna, Keshav, Madhav, Mukunda. How nice it is that, you know, even when you are addressing your child, you are remembering the Lord. So that was how people would even stay connected with the Lord in their, even if they are involved or busy in their domestic material activities. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is giving, confirming that even if we remember the Lord unknowingly by his names, he is there to help us out. Then Prabhupada in the purport is talking about how we as human beings, as living entities, can get satisfaction in our lives. So generally, just few days ago on Balaram Jayanti, I was talking to a devotee in the lobby, and I asked him, you know, how he's doing, and his answer was working like an ass. So I said, how true? Because we are all in similar situations. Some of us have been lucky, fortunate and intelligent that we realized this and we took some corrective measures. And but majority of us, we continue to live like ass, we die like an ass, and then we take birth again like an ass. So that is what is not the purpose of human life. The purpose of human life is to attain perfection in spirituality and go back to Godhead. So Prabhupada says that once we are practicing Krishna consciousness, then only we can be happy. Because all other possessions, all other achievements in our life are temporary. So here Prabhupada gives example of Dhruva Maharaj. We all know the story, so I will not really go through the whole thing. But a young boy who was so much passionate about getting a kingdom bigger than that of his father and Indra, he once, when he came in contact with Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he didn't want anything of that nature. He was so satisfied just by coming in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we are also so fortunate, like Dhruva Maharaj, that we come in contact with Krishna every day. Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, has provided us the opportunity to stay connected with Lord by chanting his holy names. In his holy name, Krishna resides. And when we chant the holy name of the Lord every day, we are staying connected with the Lord. And that is what is eventually going to bring us happiness. Sometimes one may say that, chanting is a burden, or is a, you know, chore for me. I just have to, you know, I'm just counting my rounds, and once I do my 16 rounds, that's it. That's the end of it. So when our scriptures say, our acharyas say, that one will get happiness by staying connected to the Lord, why it is not happening to us? So our acharyas also explain that because we are chanting with lot of offenses. So that is the reason why we are not getting that happiness which is described by Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas. So we can make progress if we continue to chant. That's very important. It's not that we should give up. We should continue to chant, because chanting is the end and chanting is the means. So in other words, we can achieve perfection in chanting by continue to chant. That is the beauty of this particular process. So we do that, and gradually our anarthas melt away, and we find, and all of you will also find, that the quality of the chanting improves. And as the quality of chanting improves, our taste for chanting also grows.
you will see at times that, okay, it happens even on a day-to-day basis sometimes, that on certain days we are more inspired, we are very enthusiastic, and we continue to chant. And on other days, it becomes very difficult even to do one round. So that happens because on certain days, we have engaged ourselves in certain activities which are very, very conducive to chanting. And such activities our scriptures describe are like engaging ourselves in devotional services, which create a mood, which create an environment in our heart to connect and remember the Lord. So, going back to the translation, so it says activities dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if performed in small measure, never go in vain. So if we have engaged ourselves in such activities, it is definitely helping us. It is creating an environment for us where we can make progress in devotional life. So this was from the text and the purport. But to make little more, understand this point and go a little bit beyond this, let us, read something from the Nectar of Devotion. So, who all are familiar with Nectar of Devotion? Everybody? Okay, very good. So then, all of you should be able to answer the questions. So, this is chapter 1, so right at the beginning of the book, and Srila Rupa Goswami describes the 6 characteristics of pure devotional service. So let us see what they are. So Mitch Prabhu, you have the microphone with you, so you can start. The 6 characteristics of pure devotional service as described by Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion. Or anybody can answer, you can join later on. So which is the first one? It's not working. Yeah. Okay. So the first one, okay, so Swal Prabhu is going to help us. Okay, Janitai.
The first one is Anya Abhilasita Sunyam, yes?
That is the aim, that is how we should live. But the 6 characteristics which Srila Rupa Goswami prescribes or describes in chapter 1, they are a little different. So Swal Prabhu or Manoj Prabhu would like to answer that.
The first one is happiness achieved from removal of suffering.
Yeah, so it is called Klesha Agni. Klesha is distress. So, in English, when we describe it, it says, pure devotional service brings immediate relief from all kinds of material distress. So, Klesha Agni. That is the first characteristic. The second one is auspiciousness. So, devotional service brings auspiciousness in our life. So, auspiciousness is a word which is very easily could be misunderstood. So, for a karmi, I think that was also in the previous verse which we did yesterday, that auspiciousness for a karmi is very different than the auspiciousness for a devotee. So, for a karmi, if he makes more money, he gets bonus at his work, and he gains his shares, prices go up and so on, he is very happy. That is auspiciousness for him. And what is the auspiciousness for a devotee? If we get more opportunities to serve, that is the auspiciousness for us. So that is the difference between auspiciousness for a karmi and a devotee. Then the third one is pure devotional service automatically puts one in transcendental pleasure. So we are talking of happiness. So that is transcendental pleasure we get by practicing the devotional service. Then the fourth one is very important, and we are going to talk about that little bit more in detail afterwards. So what is that? Pure devotional service is rarely achieved. So we have to recognize the rareness of pure devotional service. Only some very, very fortunate souls get that opportunity. Then those in pure, next one is those in pure devotional service deride even the conception of liberation. So I was reading that I think it was King Prithu. He said that if by getting liberated I am not going to hear the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if by getting liberation I am not going to stay connected with the devotees, if I am not going to get any service at the lotus feet of the Lord, I do not want such liberation. So that is the difference again of the thinking process, the thought process of a devotee. Then the last point, last characteristic is pure devotional service is the only means to attract Krishna. This is also very, very important. And Srila Prabhupada says here that Krishna is all attractive, but pure devotional service attracts even him. So we read in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna is in discussion with Arjuna, and also in our other scriptures, that how can one understand Krishna? This is a question which often comes up, and Arjuna asks this question, and Krishna answers that. In different places, Krishna has answered that in Bhagavad Gita. So, how can one understand Krishna? Through a spiritual master. And so, why do we need a spiritual master? So, we have... Yes.
We can only understand Krishna by engaging in devotional service.
By bhakti. What is the definition of bhakti? Bhakti is devotional service performed at the lotus feet of the Lord without expecting anything in return. So when you were saying anya vilashita shunyam, the meaning is that we want to engage in a service where we have no personal desire. I have nothing to desire, I am only wanting to surrender and serve the Lord. So that is the meaning of anya abhilashita shunyam. Shunyam means zero, anya means other, and abhilasha means desire. So anya abhilashita shunyam means I have zero desires of my own. And in that mood, I am serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is how bhakti is to be performed. That is what bhakti is. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, and also we hear this quite often, that Krishna can be understood only by his mercy. If we get his mercy, only then we will be able to understand him. And when you say we need a spiritual master, when Krishna is merciful, he connects us to a spiritual master. He makes arrangement that we come in contact with his representative, who is going to help us to understand Krishna. Now, why is it so difficult then? You know, in point number 3 or 4, point number four, it says the rare, it is pure devotional service is very, very rare. So why is that so rare? So it is said, I will read out also from the text here, but the understanding is that Krishna, if one goes and approaches Krishna with some material desires, Krishna will fulfill them. You know, you can, I want this, I want that. We have so many needs. So Krishna is going to fulfill all those needs. But when it comes to bhakti, when it comes to devotional service, Krishna is very, very careful. Because when Krishna allows someone to reach at that level of pure bhakti, of pure devotional service, such a devotee can control Krishna. This is the interesting part. You know, when we read the relationship of a devotee with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a devotee wants to serve Krishna. And Krishna also wants to serve his pure devotees. And we have so many examples in our scriptures where Krishna took the position of a humble position of serving his devotees. The one which we very often talk about is being a chariot driver for Arjun in Mahabharata. So Krishna took that position because Arjun is a devotee of the Lord. And there are several similar examples in our scriptures. So that means by allowing somebody to reach that platform, Krishna is being controlled. Krishna could be controlled by that person, and that is why Krishna is extremely careful that this process of pure devotional service is not just for everybody. So I will read out some sections from Nectar of Devotion on this particular topic, which is very interesting and very relevant for us, and also it kind of indicates to us that only very, very fortunate souls get this opportunity. It says here, in the preliminary phase of spiritual life, there are different kinds of austerities, penances, and similar process for attaining self-realization. However, even if an executor of these processes is without any material desire, he still cannot achieve devotional service. And aspiring by oneself alone to achieve devotional service is also not very hopeful, because Krishna does not agree to award devotional service to merely anyone. Krishna can easily offer a person material happiness or even liberation, but he does not agree very easily to award a person engagement in his devotional service. Devotional service can in fact be attained only through the mercy of a pure devotee, spiritual master in this case. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, by the mercy of the spiritual master who is a pure devotee, and by the mercy of Krishna, one can achieve the platform of devotional service. There is no other way. The rarity of devotional service is also confirmed in Tantra Shastra, where Lord Shiva says to Sati, "My dear Sati, if one is a very fine philosopher, analyzing the different processes of knowledge, he can achieve liberation from the material entanglement. By performance of the ritualistic sacrifices recommended in the Vedas, one can be elevated to the platform of pious activities and thereby enjoy the material comforts of life to the fullest extent. But all such endeavors can hardly offer anyone devotional service to the Lord. Not even if one tries for it by such processes for many, many thousands of births." This is what Lord Shiva is saying. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is also confirmed by Prahlad Maharaj that merely by personal efforts or by the instructions of higher authorities, one cannot attain to the stage of devotional service. One must become blessed by the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who is completely freed from the contamination of material desires. And finally, in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, sixth chapter, verse number 18, Narada also says to Yudhishthira, "My dear king, it is Lord Krishna, known as Mukunda, who is the eternal protector of the Pandavas and the Yadus. He is also your spiritual master and instructor in every respect. He is the only worshipable God for you. He is very dear and affectionate, and he is the director of all your activities, both individual and familial. And what's more, he sometimes carries out your orders as if he were your messenger." Note this point. "My dear king, how very fortunate you are, because for others, all these favors given to you by the Supreme Lord would not even be dreamt of. The purpose of this verse is that Lord easily offers liberation, but he rarely agrees to offer his soul devotional service, because by devotional service, the Lord himself becomes purchased by the devotee." So that is the importance, and you can say the glories of devotional service. So if we come back to our verse of today, where it is said that activities dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if performed in small measure, never go in vain. And Srila Prabhupada says in purport that devotional service is so important. So I just wanted to bring this point to you, that why devotional service is so important, because it is very, very rare. Anything which is rare is normally precious. You know, if something is available in abundance, it is normally not, may not be so expensive or so precious. It's a very common example given in economics is that the in certain places the merchants they indulge in hoarding. Have you heard this word hoarding? Okay, H-O-A-R-D-I-N-G, hoarding. So what is hoarding? You know, sometimes they say food grains. And in India, it is quite common. It used to happen. I don't know whether it still happens. That the merchants, they will keep the stocks in their godowns. They will not bring it in the market. So in the market, there is a scarcity of food grains. And when there is a scarcity, the prices of food grains will shoot up. And then they bring out the, you know, their stock from their godowns and sell them at a higher price. So, in other words, if there is a scarcity of a particular commodity in the market, it's precious, everybody saves it. Even recently or some time ago, at least I can talk of when we were changing from 1999 to 2000, when the millennium was changing. So, I was still living in India at that time, but I was reading in newspapers that in America, people are so busy shopping in the supermarkets for foodstuff because they were not very sure what will happen when from 1999 we are going into 2000. So, and as a result, there was a scarcity of foodstuff, of items in the supermarket, and the prices shoot up. So here we are talking of devotional service, which is extremely rare, which can be awarded only by the mercy of the Supreme Personality. So, how rare it is and how precious it is, that is what we have to understand. And again, I say it always in this discussion, that we have to realize that we are so fortunate that we have got this opportunity to engage in the devotional service at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Kishore Kishori. And we should make full use of it, because as we have read, that only under very, very rare circumstances one gets such opportunity. This is not available to each and everyone. So I will stop here for discussion, questions, corrections. Suhal Prabhu would like to add something.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I wanted to ask you if you can comment. We have this explanation from Srila Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion, as you were highlighting, that devotional service is very rarely achieved. And then at the same time, we have Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement that is sort of bringing devotional service just like out for everyone and to receive. And so we see that when we go, we perform Sankirtan Yagya, or we distribute prasadam, how by hundreds people are engaged, you know, in hearing, or engaged in tasting, or engaged in chanting. And sometimes people come forward and help the devotees carry books or things like that. So they're engaged in devotional service. Now, it seems to me that what makes sense is that what Srila Rupa Goswami is referring is to pure devotional service, isn't it? Or a different levels of devotional service that is very rarely achieved. But then we see, if you can explain this, if you understand what I'm saying, that we all receive devotional service from absolutely zero qualification, or at least most of us receive that, and by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission.
Yes, thank you, Prabhu. It's a very interesting point. So, Srila Rupa Goswami is talking about pure devotional service. That is very clear. But even to make a beginning is very important. One has to be, again, very fortunate. When we go out on Harinam, we go out on prasadam distribution, we go out on book distribution, how many, you meet hundreds of people on the street, but there will be only few fortunate ones who will be talking to you, who will listen to you. So again, there is a process that not every, the mercy is available, it is available to everybody. I can give an example of radio. Does everybody know what radio is? Okay, good. Because we are slowly forgetting about radios. You know, we are so much into computers and cell phones, etc., that radio has become a thing of the past now. But a radio station is broadcasting a program. Now, it is up to us whether we tune into that frequency or not. So the Lord's mercy is available. Lord Chaitanya was so merciful that he made it very easy. Definitely, you are absolutely right. But again, we have to make an effort. We have to tune into that frequency to make sure that we get connected to the devotee, we get connected to that process where we can make some progress in devotional life. It is available to everybody. That's why Srila Prabhupada came to Western countries. He built so many temples in this, you know, foreign land, because people here were not familiar with Krishna. People here were not familiar with the holy name of the Lord. And he wanted to make it even easier for them, that they could come, they can take darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by coming in contact with the devotees who are here, they may be inspired to at least inquire, and then it can lead in that, you know, they can then grow slowly in that process. So no doubt it is difficult, but again, only the fortunate ones will eventually make it. And also another example could be like when a farmer is sowing seeds, you know, he is putting so many seeds in the field, but not all of them are growing into a plant, correct? Some of them will just not grow at all. So the mercy is available. One has to be fortunate to get it. One has to be, you know, one has to like some, there's a saying in English that you have to be at the right place at the right time. So some of us were there at that time. We are there at the right time, at the right place. Others are not so fortunate. Yes, Prabhu.
Just to also, just to add and reinforce what you're saying, one of the things that we learn in the service of Sankirtan, either performing Harinam or book distribution, is that there's, it's like a time bomb. There's timing.
Yes. Yeah.
It's going to happen. That, for example, we know that chanting, there will be some very fortunate, pious people that are out there that immediately will respond, and their attraction will be, mm-hmm. you know, immediately manifested. Yeah. There's some people that are a little further mm-hmm. and further, but just to hear, even if you hear it with rejection,
yeah, yeah.
you're finished. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of time. Is we have, that's one of the things that I remember very clearly getting from devotees who were, I was learning mm-hmm. Sankirtan. That is there, that the faith that even plants or creatures, animals, everybody benefits
yes.
tremendously. Yeah. And they actually engage in service, in the service of hearing. However, mm-hmm. as you said, you know, it's not going to necessarily manifest. Only very fortunate ones are ready to
yeah.
respond. However, they're still very fortunate. And like Jainita Prabhu sometimes says, you know, and this is something that we also were mm-hmm. told as book distributors, even if they touch the book,
yes.
they become benefit.
Yeah.
So, you know, the other that he sometimes does ask, he, you mm-hmm. know, people, no, they're not interested. Well, can you touch the book? Not like that. So, it's even by touching the book,
yes.
Even by seeing the devotee distributing mm-hmm. books, they get benefit.
That's true. There is so much to it, as a matter of fact. Again, when I started, I read, you know, the person who gave me, who asked me to chant, gave me a piece of paper and chanting beats. And he says, and it was described on that paper how one should chant. You know, hold the beads like this and then chant the mantras, and at the once you finish your round, then how to turn them and so on. And it is also said there, I still have that paper, it says that one should chant loudly. And when I was reading further in Srila Prabhupada books, he said at least the person sitting next to you should be able to hear you. And then this became a point of, you know, discussion with my wife. I will sit in a place in my house and I will chant, like if person sitting in the farthermost corner in the house will be able to hear me. And she will say, why you are chanting so loudly? And I say, it says here that one should chant loudly. And then we would discuss, and you know, so then later on I was talking to senior devotees, and something very interesting came out of that discussion. And it was that, like Suhal Prabhu said, anybody who hears that is also benefited. So Srila Prabhupada was so compassionate that he says, you know, we are hearing, we are chanting, we are getting the nectar through our ears. But even somebody, if you are chanting on the train, CTA train, you are chanting on an aircraft, you are chanting, you are doing Harinam on the street, anybody who gets those sound vibration gets the benefit of, you know, the Harinam. So this is really so, you know, interesting. And I really do not know what to say about it, but this whole process is really developed in such a way that each and everybody can benefit from it. And as devotees, we have the responsibility that even, like you, Swal Prabhu said, that people may not be interested in it, but still they get the benefit by hearing the sound, by hearing our kirtan, by touching the book, by honoring prasadam, and so on. I see on Krishna Fest on Sunday evenings, our temple room may not be always very crowded, but if you go upstairs, it is always crowded. So normally, if you know, the number of people present upstairs is about 25 to 30% higher than in the temple room. So I come across some people over there who I've never seen them in the temple room, but I see them every week upstairs. So I feel that, you know, they are trying to, you know, keep themselves somehow. They are shut away from Krishna. They are not coming. You know, we have open door policy. Everybody can come and sit here, you know, participate in the kirtan, hear the class and all that. But they have decided not to do that. But still, Krishna is so merciful. And through the process which Srila Prabhupada has prescribed, they are still getting the mercy by honoring the prasadam. So this process is really very, very interesting. Very nice process. Yes, Prabhu.
Just the presence of the temple here in this neighborhood is very auspicious for the people in this, yeah, in this area. Mm-hmm. And then that's something that the temple devotees who are performing Sankirtan regularly, they've been telling me. And you know, the times that I go, you also see that is people are very favorable inclined, very, mm-hmm, you know, they respond very nicely in the neighborhood to the devotees, yeah, and to the chanting, yeah, and to, yeah, you know, taking the books like that. So, or at least to have a very favorable disposition towards the devotees. Mm-hmm. So you can see that they, and also something that the devotees have told me, the atmosphere also changes just by doing Sankirtan,
yes,
yeah, regularly. That you can see the difference, mm-hmm, you know, as you go on doing it regularly, you can see the difference in, yeah, the, yeah, in the atmosphere in terms of, you know, the people, yeah, like that. That's something that, yeah, I've heard from the devotees here.
I'm reminded of some discussion which was taking place between Srila Prabhupada and one of his disciples. In the beginning, ISKCON temples were not necessarily in very opulent surroundings. They made a very, very humble beginning, and number of times they were located in areas which were, you know, not really very good. People would be a little careful going there. The neighborhood were not so good, let me put it that way. So somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, why do we have a temple in this neighborhood? He says, because here it is needed most. So, you know, people in that such neighborhood, they hear our kirtan, like people living next door. They hear our blowing the conch, our kirtan and aarti every day, so many times every day. So imagine the benefit they are getting, you know, unconsciously. You know, some of us are doing it consciously, but those people in the neighborhood, they are getting it like that, free, you know, like buy one, get one free. So just by being in the neighborhood, they are getting all that benefit. Thank you, Subhal Prabhu, for bringing this point. Any other comments, experiences? Okay. So, thank you so much for your attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.